council to order. Please stand for a national anthem. Okay, is there any disclosure of pecuniary interest, general nature thereof? Okay, seeing none.
That brings us to item four, which is the previous meeting. There are seven sets of minutes before council for consideration.
Motion to move the minutes, Deputy Mayor and Council MacArthur. Any questions? Council Simone?
There was just a change that Councillor Courtney actually brought to my attention, and he is working today, so he's hoping that I can bring it forward on his behalf. He's just item 4.4 on page 19 of the agenda. He's just hoping that when he spoke about Mealtime Express, if you could please amend to read hosted by the owners, the Mickle family, and all proceeds gifts going to families in need.
Okay, any other corrections or additions? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? Carried.
That brings us to reports under corporate services. Item 6.1 is development charges act changes effective January 1 of 2020. Installments, rate freezing, and interest charges.
Can I get a mover? Deputy Mayor, second. Councilor Reno, discussion. Councilor Pruitt.
A couple of questions. Nowhere in the document does it specify what the date is. It says the second quarter non-residential construction index plus 0.5% or the average annual rate at which the town would issue debentures to fund development charge projects plus 0.5% shall apply to the amount, principal amount of the deferred payment. I recognize the change, but what are they today?
I do have that. Obviously, the report is written as such so that it's a policy change going forward, but today's rates, second quarter non-residential construction index was 4.8%, and our average cost of borrowing right now is 3.075%. So it's an and/or statement. Council chooses which one of the two rates they'd like to go with. Obviously, the recommendation would be that growth pays for growth, and the preference would be the non-residential construction index, as that would allow us to have enough to cover the cost of construction of DC components going forward.
It's fine for 4.8. That surprised me a little bit. It's that high. What has it been over the last year?
That amount has gone up significantly over the past 5 years as construction prices continue to increase. But that was where we finished the second quarter of 2019 at 4.8%, and that was also what we tried to build into the capital budget as indexing, so that we assure that we're keeping pace with the increasing rise in construction rates.
And my last question, just to be sure, should we pass this tonight, that would mean that the rate would that would be charged would be 4.8 plus 0.5 or 5.3%.
That is correct.
Thank you.
Councilor McArthur?
Yeah, it's sort of an and, or can we, I mean, whichever one we take, there's going to be fluctuations, right? So today, the one with the construction index is higher than, you know, what we issue for debentures. So whichever one we pick tonight, potentially in the future, we might not be maximizing. Could we amend it to say the higher of the two?
The higher of the two will normally be A. The construction price index is normally the higher of the two than our borrowing rate. Historically, when the town does debenture items under like local improvement policy, we go with B. However, realizing that growth needs to pay for growth, and this could be up to 20-year collection on nonprofit housing, the only way to keep pace with the proper DCs would be to use the non-res construction rate. That would protect the municipality as far as increasing price goes. So if I'm answering it, it will normally always be A, would be the higher cost.
And supplementary to that, there is, right now there's no rate. The province didn't prescribe a rate in the Development Charges Act. They left it up to the municipalities to do so. We are taking the most conservative approach based on the historic track record of the construction, non-residential construction cost index. That typically has been the higher of the two.
Is there any other questions? Councilor Crew?
Just in terms of the province weighing in on this, looking at 21-year debentures for, I guess, assisted housing and 6 years for just ordinary rentals, have they prescribed a maximum rate yet? The report said it was to be done soon. Have they prescribed the maximum rate that we can charge?
At the time of the report, I do not believe the legislature has given a maximum rate. However, we felt that administratively we need to get something in place should one of these developments come before council for approval, so that we do have a framework to work within.
In all likelihood, will not be the legislature that sets the maximum rate. This is usually done by regulation, which is done by cabinet, and the cabinet will just wake up one morning and set the maximum rate. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there won't be any notice. Will you be in a position to report back to council if the maximum rate will enhance what we can collect? Because I think we would like to know that, especially looking at projects that are coming forward. We don't want to, as a town, be on the hook or not have sufficient funds while things are being built and we're not collecting for 20 years.
That's correct. We are monitoring all of the changes with regards to the DC, especially the soft components and how that's going to impact council. We have definitely been on top of it from an administrative standpoint. If a maximum rate is prescribed, we could report that back to council.
Further to that, Councillor, some municipalities are charging the outstanding tax rate, which is 1.25% in some municipalities, so that's 15% per year. I will tell you, I've looked at this particular development charge issue with regards to providing affordable housing and in a nonprofit manner and in a for-profit manner. As you just stated a little bit earlier, for the for-profit individuals, they would be looking at 6 years. I don't believe that that's going to be exercised very much, especially in light of the fact that, based on most lending institutions wanting to ensure that they're the primary secured creditor in all situations, they'll be asking them to take them out. That's what I've experienced in the past. And then I think further to that, when you look at the 2019 yearly building activity report that's been submitted by Chief Building Official Angelo Voglio, you'll see in that particular situation where we're talking about developments and developments that that would be multi-res in a nonprofit or in a for-profit situation. I can tell you that in the town of Amherstburg, when we look at apartments, we haven't had apartments built since 2017. They would be the primary users of that. And the next would probably be townhouse units, depending on the number of units there. So quite honestly, I don't know how much uptake there's going to be in this particular development charge option that the province has done. I personally don't think it's going to enhance the ability of developers or nonprofit organizations in providing additional affordable housing stock, in my opinion.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, for the purposes of voting, Deputy Mayor, what's, did you want item one or item two on each item? Or I should say aye or aye aye.
So, say that you want, I want to take item one.
Yep.
And I'm going to, okay, there was what, okay, there was the...
I was the higher.
Yeah, it, sorry, it was the one with the construction, okay, I'm looking at the construction index, that's the one, okay, that's what I was looking at, the number one.
So, one aye. And two aye.
Yes.
Okay.
Just ask a question, I'm going to vote for that because that is currently what's the best. Will we have an opportunity to review this down the road if the rates change? If construction falls right out the window across Ontario, that index is likely to come down, and the other one may go up, the cost of borrowing. I don't want to lock us in for too long. If this is, would this be reviewable after a year or two? Right now, it makes perfect sense to me.
Through your worship, to Councillor Prue. Well, if the province prescribes a rate that's higher than we currently are working with and what's been provided to council, we would definitely go with the higher rate of the province. We'll have to come back and amend it. If there are some changes, we'll have to report back to council. We'll have to monitor the construction cost index. All indications over the past 5 years has been that the non-residential construction index has been significantly higher than our debenture rate. But once again, we'll have to monitor that and bring it back to council in a report on an annual basis.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just for further discussion, I think Mr. Michelli is right in terms of incentives to, you know, to build. I don't think are really there with respect to what the government's trying to do. It looks more like a little bit of polish that they're putting on existing things, but I don't really think it's going to be much of an incentive, as I would agree with Mr. Michelli, to build the affordable housing. And I guess I'm not sure what other municipalities are doing in terms of strategy, or communicating to the government, to the province, what we feel that this is not enough. I guess, you're not the only one saying this, and how do we communicate back to say that we really don't think this is going to benefit anybody, or the intended results are not going to be there.
Through your worship, to Council Deputy Mayor Mosh, I think we're going to have to talk to the local housing manager and express our concern with this. We know as the town of Amherstburg that we have a significant shortage of affordable housing for our own community. We need to look at the incentives that are being offered right now. As you know, council passed with the development that was done in Amherstburg where we created 32 units. We did approve a grant, a deferral of the development charges over 20 years. That would still be an option for us to consider. But I just don't think that there's enough uptake even with that. There's some significant challenges. A lot of it has to do with the rate of return for investors and the programs that are being offered to subsidize that. There's limitations on market rent when you get into a program. Typically the market rent is 80% of the market rent would be considered affordable housing. The challenge is that most people now are spending well over 30% of their income for housing, and that is really where their challenge is. We have that enshrined in our official plan. Our official plan also states that, so we may have to come up with some sort of program ourselves to try and address that, working in concert with the regional housing manager. But it is a problem, and I personally do not think that what senior levels of government have performed to date are going to drive those incentives to get additional affordable housing stock built.
Then I would propose that through a resolution that we send a letter to the manager, and you know, express that concern.
Did you want to amend the motion then, or address that later?
Well, I guess, yeah, we could amend the motion. I guess just add it to it.
Okay. And the second was?
Councilor Reno.
Councilor Reno?
Yeah, okay.
Your Worship, if we can, actually in the motion, also in the motion to include that administration apply the higher of the rate prescribed by the province, or what is included in the report, so that we can actually do that and address Councilor Prue's concerns.
That would be a good point. I agree with that.
Councilor Reno?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sure we'd probably get a report back if that happens anyway.
Correct.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? All those in favor? Carry.
That brings us to item 11, information reports. There are three information reports for council's consideration.
Motion to receive. Councillor Simone, second. Councillor MacArthur, any questions? Councillor Prue?
Just a quick menu on the third one, 11-3, the Windsor-Essex County Economic Development Corporation, job site challenges admission. I read the report, and also the Economic Development Committee had an opportunity to look at it on Thursday night, mm-hmm. and approved the report, that council should adopt it and go forward with the report to identify three sites. One and two are co-joined, and three is Greenfield. But I want to ask some questions about the numbers one and two. My understanding from a tour that I had on one occasion was that the lands of the former Allied site, one is the one closer to the water, and two is the one that's further back. But there is also lands owned by Honeywell east of Thomas Road. Have they been included? Because that will bring it up close to 500 acres.
So as I understand it, that there's about seven parcels, I believe, that's owned by Honeywell.
Mm-hmm.
And the last discussion I had with them was that they were open to sell any or all
mm-hmm.
of the parcels. However, not all of them will meet necessarily the environmental standards, yeah, as requested
mm-hmm.
by this process. And so should someone step up and want to purchase that as well, I would be surprised if Honeywell would not include that.
I would be surprised too, but I think in our report we should state that there are additional lands that could be added because the province of Ontario is 500 plus acres. One and two contain, I think, 300 acres or approximately that, and it does not meet the provincial requirement, but east of Thomas Road, if it's added in, would make it up to 500. So I think we have to say that these lands may also be available, although they may be problematic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure they're any more problematic than two, quite
mm-hmm.
frankly. I think one is the one that's probably the easiest. The second, we haven't included the Gruner Mond lands, which are immediately south of that. I know it's a separate person
mm-hmm.
Or separate corporation that owns them. I think that would be the orange part there on the map. Are we going to include that in our submission to the province, that these are privately owned, but we could work towards getting them included as well?
We will have to take a look at that, and we are on a conference call tomorrow with regards to the Windsor Economic Development Commission. I'll work with Frank to take a look at that and see if it still meets the 500 acre minimum that they're looking for, but we can definitely include the Bernermond properties. Those are zoned right now, I believe, commercially. Or are they still zoned, you know, or zoned industrial?
That the yellow ones, those would be residential.
No, no,
the orange. The orange.
It's actually medium density residential.
Okay. Going on, the Economic Development Committee recommended or agreed with a statement made by the CAO that the town would be wise to commission a report on lands 1 and 2, the optimum and best use that could be made of them. That is not contained within the body of the report. Would it be in order to put a motion to that effect? I know you're under time constraints with the phones to tomorrow, but it seems to me that if the town were to work with Honeywell, we could flesh this out and advise the province the best use, the highest and best use that could be made of the land. It depends how, a lot of it might depend on how deep you can dig, because you can probably put anything if you weren't digging. You can probably put almost anything on that land because the topsoil is a couple of feet thick they put on top, so you probably do almost anything. But as soon as you start digging, it's problematic. So could we, should we be commissioning a report? I will move that later if the answer is yes.
Through your worship to Councillor Groot, in my opinion, yes.
All right. Okay. The other recommendations I would consider, if there is general agreement to them, is that the CAO meet with Honeywell as soon as as soon as possible, and possibly with the owners of Bernermond, to determine whether they wish to be part of that commissioned report. That's one thing. And then another is that the CAO report back to council on his findings as soon as possible, but well before the 31st of March deadline, which to my mind would make it no later than the 23rd of March meeting, so that council can act proactively and hopefully get a unanimous vote and send this off to the province saying that we're all together on this. And there was one other thing on page 72, and then I'll let somebody else have it. On page 72, the province has talked about allowing municipalities to participate in pre-application consultations. That's found on page 72. And I would suggest that we should indicate to the province at the outset, you know, that we want to be part of that negotiation. It seems to me that that's going to show them that we're very serious about this land. The only other thing I would state, and I'll leave it to others, is that the Greenfield site off Howard, although it's attractive, would involve the loss of 500 acres plus of prime agricultural land. And although the province says they want to look at this, there are laws in this province that you can't do that. And so I'm hoping that council, although we can put it forward, understands that in spite of what is being said by the province, that this may not be as likely as a brownfield site. And I'll pass it to someone else.
How about if we receive the reports and then we can articulate all that to a separate motion? So on the receipt of the reports, is there any issues with that? Okay, all those in favor? Carried. And then I'll go back to Councillor Crewe. Does anybody need any of that repeated? If except maybe the clerk, probably the clerk.
Okay, all right, let's just start with the first one is that, council, directs, staff, to include the lands east of Thomas Road and the lands of Bruner Mond, if applicable, in the report, and this is, from page 73 of the report, and 72. Secondly, that the council, approves, staff, meet, staff, authoring or help to author a report on the highest and best uses of the lands, in 1 and 2. These would be the Honeywell lands. Number three, that the CAO meet, with the, Honeywell owners, to see if they are willing to be part of this commissioned report, and that they can convene a meeting with them as soon as possible, to allow us to meet the 31st of March deadline, and that council requests, that we, that we approve pre-application consultations with the province if they are offered.
The second? Councilor Simone, any questions on those?
Just one point, and I don't know if he covered it in the last statement, Councilor Prue, about being involved in some of these meetings. You touched on that aspect, about being involved in meetings, and I didn't hear that in the in your.
Well, if I could, I think the Economic Development Committee was very keen on this. Three members of the Economic Development Committee are councillors, and I think that we, if we could involve them in the process, involve the owners in the process, if we can convince the province that this 300 or 500 acre site is essential to what they're trying to do, we'll go a long way to bringing development to this town. Development we desperately need in jobs. I've said it before, and I think everyone knows, this site is one of the few sites in Ontario that has a deep water port. It's one of the few sites in Ontario where there is water allowed to be taken from the river. It is one of the few sites in Ontario that has a railway that runs into it, and we have adequate parking and roads on both sides of it. So I don't know what developer of an industry would want, and I just want to make sure that we're right there, top, front, and center.
There's also a fully functioning energy conversion plant as
well.
There
you go. I forgot that one. Yes, there is. I mean, this is prime, and I know it's not greenfield what the province is saying, but this is prime, and this could bring potentially thousands upon thousands of jobs to Amherstburg.
Did we need to add that? Did you want to add that to the motion?
I don't know if it needs to be added to the motion. I'm
okay.
Sure it will be part of the report. I know the CAO is well aware of all of those things,
okay.
And I trust that he will include them in his report due tomorrow.
Okay. Any other questions? Councilor McCarthy?
Yeah, just a question to the CAO. So this phone call with Weedsea, so how does it work? Are they going to throw 10 projects, or are they going to pick, you know, one shall rule them all? Like, how are they going to submit these projects and vet these projects and get them to the province?
Well, the challenge that we have in the area right now is that there is no one single owner in the entire Essex County region that meets the criteria of what they're looking for at the provincial level. So that's going to be part of the conversation. If you're looking at the way the sites will be evaluated, there's 13 criteria that the province is going to be looking at, that being the size and configuration, location and transportation, the utilities and servicing, the site condition and previous land use, which is where the issue becomes with regards to Honeywell. Surrounding property uses, is there an advanced manufacturing footprint nearby? Is there enough talent and training in the region to support manufacturing? The ownership of the property, is it continuous ownership, which we know based on what's been submitted by all the municipalities so far that there's not. And with regards to any incentives and community benefits. So we're gonna be having that discussion. I will tell you that what Wheatsea did bring to us as CAOs was the fact that there really only is three of the local municipalities in the region that can currently deal with the issue. We are one of them. We've identified one of them. The other one is Tecumseh and the City of Windsor. So we're gonna have that conversation tomorrow. Applications can be made by the development agencies, which is Wheatsea, or can be made by the municipality. So it's either or can make the application forward. I need to hear what's going to be happening at tomorrow's conversation to see what the regional position is going to be through Wheatsea.
Okay, so just a follow-up to that, if for whatever reason Wheatsea says, you know, we're only going to pick one, we're going to champion the Tecumseh project or the Windsor project and the town of Amherstburg, we can still submit our own application and try to proceed that way.
The way I read it, yes.
Okay, any other questions? All those in favor? Carried.
Your Worship, I think we need to have Council reconsider the recommendation that they previously adopted with regards to the development charges. We were looking to have the entire recommendation adopted, not either one or it's the entire recommendation. So, and in addition to that, we're looking to add, should the province prescribe a rate that is even greater, that we would move to that.
Motion, okay, Deputy Mayor. And second,
I want to question it first.
Yeah.
Okay, this is for reconsideration at this point? Okay, reconsideration, then I'll talk.
Okay, all those in favor? Carried, and now we would need the new motion with everything, but...
Well, I'd like to get a clarification on it first. I'd like to get a clarification on it first because it says or... I guess, and in interpretation of the or, it's one or the other. I guess it probably should have said and.
Through your worship, it says in the an annual interest rate equal to the greater of.
It says the second quarter non-residential construction index plus 0.5% or the average annual.
Agreed, Deputy Mayor, but the line before that says an annual interest rate equal to the greater of either the second quarter non-resident.
Okay.
And by us only adopting I, we have eliminated the second one.
I read
so the fear that Councillor Prue had is being addressed in the report. And furthermore, we would like to add item III, which would be that should the province prescribe a rate greater than I or II, then we would use the provincial rate. And that would apply to both motions.
I believe that captures what we were discussing anyway, so is there a mover? Deputy Mayor? Second? Councilor Prue? Any further discussion? All those in favor? Carried.
That brings us to item 12, consent correspondence. Item 12.1 is deep geologic repository project, City of Sarnia.
I guess what the concern is. Is there a motion to receive? Councilor MacArthur, second. Councilor Simone, any questions On your seat, all right, all those in favor, carried.
That brings us to item 13, correspondence, March 20, Easter Seals Month, Easter Seals Ontario, Windsor, Essex.
Move.
Move the recommendation.
Counselor MacArthur, second. Counselor Reno, any questions? All those in favor, carried.
That brings us to item 14, consent other minutes. Item 14.1 is the Committee of Adjustment Meeting Minutes from October 29th, 2019.
Mover. Counselor Reno, second. Counselor Simone, any questions or corrections? All those in favor, carried.
That brings us to item 15, other minutes. The Amherstburg Accessibility Advisory Committee Minutes of January 23rd, 2020.
Move. Counselor Reno, second. Deputy Mayor, any questions, corrections? All those in favor, carried.
That brings us to item 16, unfinished business for February 10th.
Unfinished business items? Counselor Simone.
Sorry, I believe this has come up twice or three times now. To go over the unfinished business list, maybe things that were asked to be put on the unfinished list from previous council. But I noticed that some of those items are currently off the list. So I was just wondering if we're going to be compiling all those items so that we can review and discuss and decide if they should still continue to be on the list.
Through your worship, we can certainly do that. I know that we did review the unfinished business list as an administration, and when you brought it up previously, and I do believe that all of the information that has not been completed was put back on the list, but I can double check one more time. If there's anything that you believe should be there that isn't, please let me know and we can make sure if it should or should not be there.
Councilor Pro.
Yes, all of us got an email today from a former councillor pointing out some of the those resolutions which do not appear to be on the list anymore. I'm not sure whether they've been dealt with or can't be dealt with. I'm not sure. But if I can give you the numbers, it's 2018, 2018-1023-2017-1010-919-2018-0528-188-2018-1009-338. I don't know, I just draw your attention to that. If you can find out what has happened to those, maybe they've been dealt with, maybe not. Maybe they can't be dealt with, I don't know. But it has been drawn to our attention and I feel compelled to ask that question.
Did you say that came today?
I got the email today.
Okay.
Let me see. 11:55 this morning. Oh no, Sunday. Sorry, 11:55 Sunday.
Yeah, I didn't receive that. Okay. I guess we can address it.
Has a number of names, of which mine is one: Peter Courtney, Donald MacArthur, Michael Prue, Pat Simone, and it goes on. I think it goes on. Maybe not. Maybe it's just four.
Okay. Yeah, if you could forward those.
Absolutely.
Yep.
I'll do it right now.
Thank you.
And is there any other unfinished business? Deputy Mayor?
Well, I think, I don't know, it was last meeting or the meeting before I talked about an update on the fiber optics program. I'm getting a lot of, you know, people asking right now as people are getting sort of antsy because I think the year end 2020 was sort of the target date, and I guess I wanted to get an update as to where Bell stands with the fiber optics program. in view of the fact that I think the contract expires sometime like mid 2020. So I guess in terms of an update as to will they be on track? Is there going to be an extension required to the contract anyway? And I guess just an overall update on installation and contract.
Okay, I can answer that. I do meet with Bell representative at least once a month to review. They are on track still, as I'm sure most people have noticed. All of the poles installed already, which was the bulk of the work that they knew would take the time. So, oh,
sorry.
They will start running wire. I believe they have actually already. Now, I think some of the confusion I get from residents, which makes sense, is they don't release an area until the entire area is done that's connected to that trunk. So as they're done, they're released. They will continue to release them as they finish. They have not requested any extensions at this point. And they do have a meeting with Hydro One, I believe it is, this week, and I will be receiving an update just to make sure that everything is on track. So once I get some more details, I will definitely share them with everybody. But so far, no extensions, and we still are on schedule.
Thank you.
Is there any other unfinished business? Councilor Krupp?
Yes, I raised this with Antoinette a few meetings ago about light pollution on Boblo Island, and she agreed to look into the light, which is shining up into the condominiums, and to put a cap on the light so that it shines down, and the people tell me nothing has happened. So I was just drawing it to your attention again.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I know that they are looking into it. I don't think there's any outcome yet with their review. So once we do get that, I'm sure Antoinette will report back to council and something will be done with it.
Okay. I thank you very much. I will relay that to the people in the condo. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have one more.
Deputy Mayor.
Yeah, I have one more issue. Mr. Nemeth brought it up last week, and I've been following up with the county as to wildlife awareness signs on county roads, and I guess some direction to administration to that administration get into contact with Jane at the county to coordinate signage on the county roads with respect to wildlife awareness.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, to Deputy Mayor Walsh. We have submitted a permit for sign permit through the county. We're just waiting for that to be finalized. They've agreed to install the signs. We have the materials. So hopefully in the next month or so, those will go up.
Just a further clarification. So they have signed a contract?
Correct, yes. We submitted payment through finance. We just gotta finalize the permit.
Okay, because the director made no mention of that to me week and a half ago. So I was curious as to maybe I'll need to follow up with her again.
That was just within the last week or so that finally figured out what we're supposed to do to get that done.
Thank you.
Any other unfinished business? Okay, new business? Councilor Krupp?
I attended the Boblo Island homeowners meeting a couple of weeks ago, and the many people there were asking the developer erroneously to stop the trucks from idling while they're waiting to get onto the ferry, both to come to Boblo Island and to leave Boblo Island. And the developer, I think, correctly stated that he can't do anything because the town of Amherstburg does not have an idling bylaw. I don't know that that's true. I think it probably is. That he would gladly, since most of the trucks are his own or are under contract with him, inform them not to idle the trucks for half an hour or an hour.
as an environmentalist, I don't like it either. It's you can see them idling for an hour and a half sometimes to get onto the ferry on both sides, and it's just pollution going straight into the air for no real reason, and it's unenforceable by our staff because we don't have an idling bylaw unless unless you tell me that the developer is wrong.
Through you, Mayor. The noise bylaw actually has an idling provision that you cannot idle over 5 minutes unless there's extreme cold and there's a manufacturer requirement for it to idle longer. So we can rely on the noise bylaw if it doesn't meet the test of the exemptions that are laid out in the bylaw. So that would be the only bylaw that I can think of right now that would actually regulate idling.
Well, if it does, come back and tell me, because I'm not sure that a noise bylaw will operate. This isn't the only place. It's just the one that is the most obvious. Trucks and cars line up sometimes, you know, depending on the number of people who are trying to get on the ferry. It could be one, two, three ferries before they actually get on. And the motors never turn off. And this cannot be good for our environment, and it certainly cannot be good for the people who live in close proximity on the island side, in the condominium, and on the land side, the new hotel, and anything else that's around. So if we get a report on that, and tell me if it's already covered, then I'm going to ask that that bylaw be enforced, and if it's not covered, then I guess maybe we should have one.
Any other new business? Councillor Simone?
I received an email just in regards to the town bylaw does not prohibit on-street parking during snowfalls. So I was just wondering if that's something that can be looked at, because I know the last major snowfall we had, it was hard for the plows to go down the road. So I was just wondering if that's a possibility to look at, to see if that's something that we can change for the future.
Absolutely. Is there a second? Councillor MacArthur? Any questions or discussion on that? All right. All those in favor? Carried. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just to keep council up to date, I have two items. Just to keep council up to date, Coan Park experienced vandalism in the past week. And a couple of vehicles got onto our diamonds and ballpark areas and did some considerable damage to the fields and as well as the in the pavilions. Right now we don't know the extent of any damage there, but the curtains have been knocked down. You know, they're $20,000 curtains, so there was evidence that alcohol was involved there because of beer bottles and everything. So just anyway, police have been notified and. Windsor Star picked up on it, and anyway, so just to keep this council apprised, since we are part owners of that park, that there has been some vandalism at that park. Second item, back in November, council adopted a motion to submit an intake, to the Municipal Modernization Program for a grant of up to $200,000 for a service delivery program, and I guess have we received any response yet from the ministry?
Through your worship to Deputy Mayor, we've not received anything from the ministry in regards to a response. I know that when the ministry required municipalities to make submissions, that they wanted the results of those submissions to be received by June 30th of 2020. So we are under tight timelines, and knowing that they haven't given us the go-ahead yet, it might be difficult for us to achieve that.
Well, I guess.
Microphone.
Sorry. So I guess would it be best then? I guess we have a resolution that we put forth, the resolution that we contact the ministry via a letter, maybe to advise us what response they can provide us.
Second. Councillor Simone. Any questions? All those in favor? Carried. Councillor MacArthur.
Thank you, Your Worship. Today the province came out, they're seeking consultation on cannabis. They've launched a public consultation process to see whether communities or anyone in the province in general would favor the consumption of cannabis in places you can buy it. So cannabis cafes, you could go in, you could buy cannabis, you could ingest it there. And as well, they're seeking public input on whether the people in Ontario would also favor special occasion permits whereby cannabis could be ingested. Of course, right now, they just, you have beer tents, there's no cannabis tents. Anyway, I think that each municipality should take a position on it. I don't think we should take that position tonight. I think we should talk with our constituents, check with AMO, this and that. They just issued it this morning, because right now you can buy it legally. You just can't ingest it really anywhere. This community has already come out fairly forcefully in favor of cannabis retail. This is just cannabis retail with an asterisk. And, I think we should poll our constituency what they think. We have until March 10th. There's two council meetings until then, with the one, last one being on March 9th. So I'd like to make a motion to have administration check with AMO to see exactly what the province is requesting, with an eye towards taking an official position on it as a council in time for March 10th. Because if you don't vote, you can't complain. So I think they're asking, and I think we should tell them how this municipality feels about it.
Second. Deputy Mayor, any questions or comments? All those in favor? Carried. Any other new business? Okay, just I think something might have been overlooked last meeting. I obviously wasn't here, but there was a request for a sign from Amherstburg Public School for a short period of time for enrollment. Was that anything council wanted to deal with? The clerk had sent out the information, and it might have been overlooked. In simple terms, Amherstburg Public needs an exemption. Nicole, can you maybe just quickly?
Yes, council would have to grant an exemption to the off-site portable signage provision in the bylaw. As well, there's a moratorium right now on portable signs in the area as we're waiting for the urban design guidelines as well. So it requires an exemption to both to allow them to proceed for the portable sign at that location. The town does own that location as well that they're requesting the sign at.
For how long?
Until February 27th, I believe, was the date.
28th,
excuse me.
Deputy Mayor?
And what was the sign to do?
Advertise for kindergarten registration.
Okay, sure. For registration. Okay, it's not a for events. Okay, it's a registration. Okay.
I have a motion for consideration.
Sure.
That council grant an exemption to section 12.1 of the town sign bylaw to allow for an off-site portable sign, and that council provide relief from the moratorium on portable signs to Amherstburg Public School to allow them a portable sign at 300 Victoria Street South until February 28th.
Councilor MacArthur, move.
I'd like to, sorry.
Second, well, first I'm going to take a second.
Second, and I'd like to speak.
I saw Councilor Crew's hand.
Oh, sorry.
And now Deputy Mayor.
Do we want to add the specific use again? That you know that we're not all of a sudden we allow the sign out there and it's used to you know April prom or something. I have no problem with the school registration, but because there's a moratorium, I don't want to think we should be opening the door to any other requests. Other than, like I said, I think that's a valid reason for your registration.
We'll amend motion 2 to include
for that specific
for
use
registration.
Okay.
Okay, any other concerns? All those in favor? Carried. Any other new business? Okay, Councilor Sutter?
I'll ask just to plant a seed. I didn't ask anybody about this, but we got an email late in the day about Viking Cruise Lines that is setting up shop in Windsor. So right now, could they dock in Amherstburg?
Through your worship to Council MacArthur, we don't have the appropriate docking facilities for Viking Cruise Lines to dock in Amherstburg. As council is aware, the concept that we have been working on with the Duffy site has made for that provision.
Thank you.
Okay, any other new business?
That brings us to item 19, bylaws. You have three bylaws for your consideration this evening.
Is there a mover on those bylaws? Deputy Mayor and Councilor Crew. Don't think there's any. Is there any discussion on those? All those in favor? Carried. That brings us to the in-camera. If I could get somebody who's on the supplementary agenda to read that. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Let council move into an in-camera meeting of council at directly following the regular meeting pursuant to Section 239 of the Municipal Act 2001 as amended for the following reasons. Item A, Section 239-2D, labor relations or employee negotiations.
That's it. Is there a second? Councilor Simone, all those in favor? Carried. We will go in camera.